The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it, it's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
An emergency stream from the Bastards of Boston. We'll kick right into it. Rafael Devers traded to the San Francisco Giants out of seemingly nowhere. I'm Nick the Voice, joined tonight by Jeremy Schilling, Chris Felico, and Terry Cushman Jr. And obviously, there's a lot of broken hearts out there and a lot of angry fans, all rightfully so. Jeremy, would you like to kick it off? We'll just do a little roundtable discussion here. What does everyone think?
Yeah, so I brought up this possibility about a month ago. So I'm blown away. But it's not so out of left field that I didn't think it could happen. It's just the timing of it makes no sense. Like, I was all excited to listen to Charlie and Terry, their podcast about how we just swept the Yankees. We held them to four or less runs. It's only happened three times. One of them was like 1910 and 1916, according to Will Fleming. And, you know, timely hitting. One of the big hits is the Devers home run in the third game that gives the bullpen a little bit of room. And I'm just, why now? We're on a flight. They're literally on a flight to Seattle. I'm stunned. And as far as I've been able to process it, which has only been about like 90 minutes or whatever, it goes one of two ways. There's an acknowledgement he had to go. He gets lifted and somebody steps up into the role, probably Roman Anthony, and they just move forward under the leadership because he was not part of the leadership. Or they're absolutely stunned. They have no idea why they just got rid of their best hitter. And this team is about to go into just an absolute tank.
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, the timing of it is just very confusing. And to Jeremy's point, I wrote an article about the potential of trading Rafael Devers, what it meant for the Red Sox, the culture. So I'm not shocked there, but the timing couldn't be any more shocking. Coming off of a sweep of the Yankees to the point where I literally wrote an article like, are the Red Sox back? And then this happens. And I tried to pause for a moment, process it. And there is the part of me that's relieved because I kind of thought this might happen at some point with Rafael Devers and that it might be necessary. Then there's a part of me that's just super angry because in looking at the return of what we got, like immediately we're being sold like, oh, well, don't worry. They're paying for the whole contract. And it's like, well, yeah, no doubt. I would expect that to be the case. And it just feels like, yeah, the Red Sox are back. It's just potentially to 2020. And that scares the hell out of me.
Terry?
You know, someone, a bunch of just casual friends that aren't necessarily big baseball fans have, you know, messaged me there because they know, even they know the magnitude of this. And, you know, I told one of them, I said, you know, Devers isn't Aaron Judge, but he impacts the Red Sox the same exact way Judge does the Yankees. Same exact way. In some ways, I think Devers, by the metrics, is even more clutch than Aaron Judge is in big moments. Like, he emotionally handles those moments better than Aaron Judge does. And you just can't replace that. You just can't. There's nobody else. There's only one person in 20 years that can do what Devers does, and it was Big Poppy. And he did it to a much bigger magnitude. And had Devers had more opportunities to get to the postseason, I think he would have had those signature moments. And, you know, you look at this ownership group and Sam Kennedy and Craig Breslow, and you just hate them so much. Before today, you just hate them. And then they trade the player that you love so much. It's just, it's really like, this is way more. I can't even find the right word. It's way more heartbreaking than the Mookie Betts trade. With the Mookie Betts trade, it was this long played out thing. You know, the negotiations broke down. You didn't really get the feeling that him staying here was a mutual thing. You know, Mookie drew hard lines. Devers wanted to stay here, you know, and he didn't try to squeeze out every penny. And, you know, Devers made a commitment to the Boston Red Sox. And it's just an impossible thing to process. And then before I get back to you guys, like, at some point this week, Craig Breslow is going to get in front of a microphone and in front of a lot of cameras. And he's a guy with no clout right now, no record of winning as an executive, no record of good leadership. And he's going to look all of them, you know, in the cameras with a straight face and say, I did what was best for the Boston Red Sox. I did what I felt was best. And if I was there, you know, and he's going to say that. And if I was present, I'm not saying I would do this, and I'm not saying anybody else should do this, but my strong urge would be to punch him in the face.
Yeah, I completely agree. This is such an unbelievable gut punch that could not have come at a more ironic time, really. We're off the backs of not just a sweep against the Yankees, but back-to-back-to-back series victories against legit competition. The Yankees, the Rays, the Yankees again. We're a game above 500. We're going into the Mariners, who are just in free fall. And then, of course, to the Giants. To trade Devers now, of all times, it is such a kick in the teeth. It's such an insult, and it's easily worse than the Mookie Betts. It's worse. This is the worst thing, I swear, that the Red Sox have done. It might be since the Babe Ruth trade. Mookie Betts was in the last year of his contract. He had one more year left, and it seemed like he wasn't interested in an extension with us. COVID maybe changed his mind when he went over to LA. You can rationalize that. Xander leaving, well, that hurt, but he didn't really want to give up shortstop. And on top of that, now he's signed until age 41. No one's going to want an overpaid Xander Bogaerts at age 39, 40, 41 on their team. But this is a guy, Rafael Devers, who took a relatively reasonable contract. This is a guy who decided to sign through his age 36 season, under $30 million a year. As the league is inflating more and more, and you're going to see what guys like Tucker get long-term. This makes no sense. And I understand, I get that there was some tension there. He didn't want to give up third base. He went over to DH reluctantly. He refused to go over and play first base. I wasn't happy with him for that. A lot of people weren't happy with him for that. It's fine to criticize him for that. But what this screams to me is fragility. This is Craig Breslau and John Henry, who signed off on it. This is them being absolutely pathetic. Eggshell skin. They couldn't stand having a player that wouldn't jump as high as they told him to jump. And they just nuked this team, really, from orbit. All our momentum, all our chance for this year. I don't know how you replace a top five hitter in this lineup. And the return, it's just not there.
I have a question. I'll tell you what my original thought was, and I obviously that's not it, but what's Alex Cora thinking right now? He vehemently defended Devers throughout this whole entire process. My initial thought was, well, bleep, you know, he's gonna resign by 8 o'clock tonight. But as it sunk in, I'm like, there's no way they didn't get Cora, Henry, Kennedy, obviously Breslau, all to sign off on this thing. So does that go to potentially how bad it is in the clubhouse? Maybe how hard it was with Cora managing that personality? I don't know. I'm just wondering if you guys have any thoughts. I mean, where's Cora on this?
Well, he protected Devers quite a bit and made me think that Devers didn't want to be the DH when it was quite the opposite. And that's just the masterful job that Alex Cora did in protecting him. And I mean, if I'm Alex Cora, I probably didn't like Craig Breslau in April. I probably didn't like him in May, and I probably didn't like him this morning going into the trade. And if he wanted to resign, I think they would let him do it, even if he didn't get the remainder of his balance. And I don't think that matters, because he's just going to get paid that someplace else. Somebody else will pay him. So if Alex Cora legitimately wants to resign and no longer manage the Red Sox, I think that could happen. I don't know if it will, obviously, and I probably don't think it will, but I would love it. And I'm not a Cora guy. And I mean, anytime in the last month, they could have fired him and I wouldn't have blinked, but I would almost love it for the reason of principle, integrity, and the fact that the Red Sox handled this entire thing in bad faith.
Yeah, it's a good question, Jeremy. I think it almost scares me if he didn't know. I'm sorry, if he did know. If he did know and everyone was complicit with signing off on this, that's a scary thought for me going forward.
Ready, set, collect. I wish he would tell me his source, but he's saying they said Cora had no clue.
That's really ugly if it comes out like that.
I mean, that makes more sense to me that he had no clue. Because why go out there and defend Devers in the manner that he did for as long as he did through all this, just to sign off on it? Unless there's something we're missing at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe he couldn't manage him anymore. Maybe it was becoming too difficult, or what he had to do to placate Devers was having an effect on the other 25 guys on the roster.
I don't know. I saw some reports that, you know, it wasn't Devers who requested a trade. There was some rumors about that back even in spring training. He wasn't happy about losing his position, but you know, judging by a couple of the guys coming out, you know, these breaking news reporters, it seems like that wasn't an issue right now. So I'm really confused, honestly. And to do this when the team is in the air, going to the West Coast, a long away trip, I mean, it's just cowardice. You know, Sam Kennedy and Craig Breslau, they said they're going to be available tomorrow for Zoom calls. They're just cowards. That's all it is to it at this point. I'm not afraid to say it, and no one should be. I mean, Henry and everyone down, everyone who had anything to do with this, they should be ashamed of themselves, and they just shouldn't be supported at the end of the day because they're not serious about winning.
I'll tell you this about whatever Sam Kennedy concocts, it's going to be lies. That guy lies like the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. It's what he does. It's the only thing he knows how to do. I either can't listen to it because I don't want to deal with whatever the nonsense is. Or if I do, I'm going to just fly off the handle because he will be insulting in that Zoom call, press conference, whatever he ends up doing. It'll be insulting to the fan base that's invested in this team. And I'm already pretty pissed off about that.
Yeah, you know, just before you say something, Terry, what I feel right now for the worst, I feel bad for the other guys on this roster, because I have no doubt that they had the rug pulled out from under them, and maybe we will get some hit pieces that come out. Maybe there will be an expose that says what was going on behind closed doors. At this point, I hope so, because that's the only thing that could even begin to justify this. But I mean, this is a top five hitter at the end of the day. You know, if he just wanted to be a DH this year, that's fine. That was helping us. I mean, could we have gotten back to where we are in the standings if it weren't for Devers? I really just don't think so.
He's having one of the best years of his career. You know, he's already driven in a ton of runs, and that was with that terrible start. And I thought Charlie and I had a very good show earlier. And we were very upbeat, which is not the brand for this show, you know, but like I said, we do want to win and we're sick of losing. And I reminded Charlie, I said, losing Alex Bregman for a month even is the death blow to 2025. You don't recover from that type of an injury. And here we are playing the best baseball of the season. And now Devers has been removed from that. And, you know, Devers wasn't the leader of the Red Sox. And I'll agree with that. And maybe he should have been. Maybe he could have stepped up and done it. But regardless if he wasn't the leader, his presence in that clubhouse was enormous. And I think the team fed off his energy. I think the guys hitting in front of him felt really good that Raffy Devers, if I get on base, Devers is coming up and he's going to send me home. And so I don't know how you recover from this. And according to another report, Devers was on the plane. He had boarded the plane. The plane never took off, obviously, but he had boarded the plane and then he was pulled off. And I'm wondering if that was strategic, like we don't want this getting out, you know, within the next hour, let's say. We're still trying to make this all happen. Pull him off the plane. Alex Cora talks to the beat writers and he talks to sources and he could easily leak it. And so he's on the plane and I think it was very strategic, you know, keep him through the homestand. Let's let the team get out of Dodge. They're going to San Francisco. They're Seattle, then San Francisco. And I think there's even a third team. I think it's
the Angels after that. Yeah.
The Angels. So they're just, it almost feels like a hit job. And it was done in a way that was cowardly. And the crazy thing is Devers hit a home run today. He hit one off the shelf of the monster. They briefly reviewed it, but you know, it was a big home run at the time because we were only up 1-0. And I think we only scored 2 runs. And this is just impossible to process.
Yeah. Terry, to your point, this is like an NFL news dump on like Columbus Day. Like let's dump the bad news, player suspension, owner getting in trouble. Let's do it when, you know, we're going to have the lowest amount of eyeballs on it. So what do? They literally do it as the plane's departing. I wouldn't be surprised to hear they shut off the Wi-Fi on the plane. Like that's how deceitful this organization will be when it comes to this stuff. They don't want to stand and face the music. They don't want to say what it is they're really thinking. They want to lie to us. They want to create a smokescreen with a cross-continental flight where we're all wondering what they're thinking. I'm sorry, we're on a flight to Seattle. You're absolutely right. This was done intentionally. If you don't think that, take a step back and really think about the timing of this thing. Let's not do it when the Yankees are in town. right? When all of Major League Baseball is watching us. So they, maybe they won't notice. Maybe they'll be a little less angry waking up tomorrow when we land in the middle of the night when everybody's sleeping. It's absolute
Well, and horseshit. I think it's a repeat offense. If I recall correctly, wasn't there something weird with the Dave Dombrowski timing too? Like there was an event going on or something like that.
Yeah, well, with that, he was kind of, he was essentially informed that night that they probably weren't going to bring him back. And then, but it never got out until like after midnight. But I think in that case, Dombrowski forced it because he confronted them. He's like, are we going to, I'm in limbo right now. Are we going to resolve this? Am I coming back? And I think they told him no, essentially. And so it probably would have happened, you know, after game 162, but it's dirty. And I mean, the optics of that were terrible. He had just won a World Series, not even a full year before. And they axe him, you know?
I have a question. Oh, you know what it was? I'm sorry. I just looked it up. They announced it on the first Monday night football game of the NFL.
Oh,
yeah,
I knew it was something like that. I just couldn't remember the detail of it.
No, I was going to say, I've got a question at this point. Do any of you actually believe, because I know we're going to get all lies, like Jeremy said, once this comes out from the Red Sox mouth. But do any of you actually believe there's someone that was culpable in this decision that believes that this is the best thing for winning?
I don't see how you can paint it that way. I really don't. No,
not in 2025.
You know, you look at the guys that we got back, and I mean, I feel bad for them too. It's not their fault. You know what I mean? And I know that Kyle Harrison and James Tibbs, Jose Bello and Jordan Hicks. I mean, these guys, they're essentially just going to have, you know, this cloud over them pretty much their entire tenure here, unless they just become all-stars. But you look at the Savant pages. I mean, Jordan Hicks is not pitching well this year. Harrison is not pitching well this year. He's 23 with upside, but he's immediately already been assigned to AAA. I believe Jordan Hicks right now is actually on the IL from earlier this month. James Tibbs is 22. He's in high A. He's having a good season. He's another left-handed hitting outfielder, of course. And Jose Bello or Bello, he is down in rookie ball and he's 20 years old. So these guys are a futures move. Guys like Harrison, guys like Tibbs, these are guys who can help us win during the window, you could argue, of Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell. But you know who else would have helped us win during that window? Rafael Devers. It makes no sense to me.
So here's a tweet from Jeff Passan. It's 22 minutes old, but I hadn't seen it yet. And it'll kind of lead me into my next thing. He tweets, the Rafael Devers to San Francisco blockbuster has executives across baseball confounded. On one hand, the Red Sox got out from a deal every model in baseball has underwater and got talent backed. On the other, a team with talent and momentum just traded its best hitter. So I mentioned this to you guys, you know, in the war room. I don't think there's any intention to fire Craig Breslow now on June 15th, but I think it's going to get to a place within the next several weeks where it's the only option. This ownership group loves nothing more than scapegoating people. You know, they did it with Terry Francona. They've did it to Mookie Betts. How many back and forths have we heard about why Mookie really left? And to this day, I still don't know which one to believe. But I think that's what's going to happen. And I don't think Breslow is going to be able to go anywhere in Boston without being verbally accosted. I don't think he's going to be able to give an interview with media people that are going to take him seriously. Those same media people are going to be like coming for him. He's public enemy number one. And I don't think there's a path for him. He's not a likable guy in any aspect. And I don't see I don't see how, I don't see a pathway forward with him. And what has he done besides, you know, the pitching infrastructure? You know, it's nice to see Hunter Dobbins do what he's been doing. And that's a Craig Breslow thing. But otherwise, you've got a roster right now that's a mess. Every show we're doing mental gymnastics on the best infield alignment, the best outfield alignment, who's expendable, all this. And guess what? That Tibbs guy, which side of the plate does he hit from?
Another lefty.
He's another lefty. So part of me, like if I was a pro Breslow guy, I'd be like, all right, well, maybe Tibbs is now trade capital to address the Devers absence. But I don't think Craig Breslow is that smart. And I don't think you can really adequately replace Devers and all that he brings.
No, and you can't.
Another thing you mentioned, Nick, you might lose Bregman after this year. I don't know. He's going to be back more sooner than later. So I think that's going to salvage his market value if he's good when he comes back. And, you know, and who knows, maybe he gets traded too. Maybe that's what happens. Like anything is on the table here. But I think Breslow is gone by the end of the year. They're going to scapegoat him. He's going to be radioactive and they're going to be like, we can't do it.
You know, at this point, it's really just one of those situations where we kind of have too many arms in the kitchen, you know, too many starting pitchers. We just added two more to this medley of guys. And who's going to lose their rotation job? Do you want Bayo to get knocked out? I don't, after this beautiful performance. I don't want a single one of the guys in the starting five right now to lose their job. Certainly not to Jordan Hicks, who, sure, his FIP is decent, but his ERA is horrendous, despite being in a pitcher-friendly park, and the underlying metrics look terrible. This is just absolutely mind-boggling to me, and it's exactly like you say, Terry, how the roster construction is terrible. It's horrible. So do we just turn around? Do we punt the season? Do we trade Buehler? Do we trade Giolito? Do we just rock with Hicks and Dobbins and Bayo and bring Houck back? I don't know. It really boggles the mind, and it's very frustrating. Because it seems like Craig Breslow does not understand anything really about constructing a roster. It seems that he lucks his way into guys like Narvaez. I mean, he traded Chris Sale and he traded Rafael Devers. At this point, instead of Devers and Sale, we have Vaughn Grissom and Jordan Hicks. It's ridiculous. It's nonsensical. It's the type of thing that happens in a video game, not in real life, because obviously no GM would agree to that.
Yeah, but I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, Nick, because Breslow ultimately is finalizing the deal, calling the teams, shopping the player. But this is a John Henry move. Like, Breslow's doing what Henry wants. He signed Bregman, and I'm sure Henry was looking at the roster like, when I get a chance to save some money, I'm going to do it. And then the Devers situation, which should have been forecast once they signed Bregman, and it occurred right away. Then the news is he's not happy. He won't go to first. Henry might look at that and say, I can shed $313.5 million or whatever it is, right? What if Bregman opts back in and I got on the hook for him for next another $40 million next year? I can save $30 million, about $15 million this year, $30 million next year. And some of the fan base is going to say, well, that means we're going to sign Roman Anthony and you know, we're going to go get a big, another ace or a number two to replace Buehler next year. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. He's cheap. We're an asset. We're part of the portfolio. This is how he's running his other franchises. Look at the Penguins. They blow too. It was a cost-saving function. And Breslow deserves a ton of heat for even being signing off on this. He should say, you guys are submarining my career. I'm not going to be a part of this. You're going to fire me the same day you trade Devers. And I'm going to go out in the media and I'm going to say, this wasn't me. I just got fired because I wouldn't do it. But he's complicit. So he gets as much anger as anyone else, but this is a Henry move.
I honestly don't think it is, and maybe, you know, I'm not always right, and maybe we'll find that out in the coming hours and days, but I really, because Henry got on that plane and he went to Kansas City because there was a code red situation in his organization and he wanted to fix it. Now, so I think it's mostly Breslow. And I think if they hired any other executive right now, the situation would have been resolved and he would be here. There's no chance Devers gets traded with another executive. What I will agree on is, if it's so much of a circus act, I think Henry does look at the money and say, well, at least there's that. At least we're getting out of that. But I think it's entirely a Breslow thing.
But you know what? Here's where Henry's 100% responsible, okay?
Can't be.
He is now allowed two first-time GMs to trade the two cornerstones and best players that we've had in franchise history since Babe Ruth and David Ortiz. And we've gotten nothing, literally nothing. And you know what? Yeah, maybe one of these guys in the Giants trade pans out. But to this point on paper, we literally have nothing to show. The two best cornerstones that we've had in potentially franchise history, but at least the last 50 years. That's a fireable offense, but you can't fire the owner. Like, how do you allow you to be in that position to have those guys? You had Dombrowski. Like, why not? If you couldn't work things out with Mookie, he knows what he's doing. Have him trade him and get us the return that we should have gotten. You don't want Devers? Wait till you probably fire Breslow and get a real return. No, you let Breslow do it. You let Chaim Bloom trade Mookie Betts. And I know timing's not all perfect, but like, once is bad enough, but two times in 5 years is insane. And I hold Henry 100% responsible for that. But I do agree with you, Terry, as far as this being a Breslow decision.
That 2018 team should have had and will have three Hall of Famers off of it, at least. Three people going into the Hall of Fame. And at this point, it looks like none of them will wear a Boston Red Sox hat. Chris Sale, Mookie Betts, and now the most egregious thing of all, Rafael Devers. And with Sale, there was argument. I didn't like it, but... you know, there was argument, certainly. With Mookie, there was argument. With Devers, it's nine more years, eight more years of a stud hitter. And, you know, people can say, oh, well, it frees up the money to spend elsewhere. Kyle Tucker is going to make more AAV than Rafael Devers, I guarantee you. These contracts are only going up. That's how the sport works. It's inflating at a constant rate. This is just ridiculous to me. And you know what really sickens me is... the fact that I know that Breslau and Henry and probably Kennedy, they all had this idea floating around probably 10 days ago, maybe even a month ago, maybe even longer than that. And I bet that deep down, they were not happy to see us win these last three series because they knew it would make the separation that much more difficult for fans to accept. This is not a selling time. You don't sell on June 15th, a game above 500 and about half a game out of the wild card. You just don't do that. Sickening, absolutely sickening. And as for me, I mean, I blame both parties involved. I think Henry's absolutely involved. The rot always comes from the top, I feel. This has been a culture problem going back years, exactly like you pointed out, Chris. Doing the Mookie trade was bad enough. We were finally starting to get to a point of forgiveness. We were finally starting to get to a point where we said the Sox are back. And out of ego, out of pettiness, it appears they just shot themselves in the foot. Possibly irreparably.
Let's give Jeremy another.
I mean, I'm reading all your guys' comments on YouTube and Twitter as well. And there's a lot of good comments in there, comments that could be talking points on another night. But to me, this, and I all your points are well founded in my opinion, but for me, the buck stops with the guy signing the check. If this was pitched by Breslow to Henry and he said no bleeping way, fine. But that's not what happened. Even if Breslow came up with the idea, the minute Henry texts him back saying you have a green light, it's a serious problem. Somebody's got to have the ownership in any pro sports team, ownership has the last word. Every big deal the Celtics signed off on before they sold the team was signed off by Wick Grausbeck. Every single one approved. We're going to win. We're all in. It's just the opposite with this organization. And again, the timing, guys, I was so excited for the Seattle series. Like as I got notified from you guys that this was going on, I mean, my whole world just got flipped up to, I'm starting to talk about, I think we're going to make a run here. I said a week ago, we need to have steady starting pitching to go on a run. And guess what they did? They gave us steady starting pitching. I was so positive. This just makes no sense. And this was absolutely preloaded. I agree with you. I think that them sweeping the Yankees was not on their bingo card either. And they assumed we were going to lose the series or at best go 2-1. And this was the best move. Instead, I didn't check. I think we might be tied for the last wild card spot.
Either tied or like going half a game out.
Half game out.
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we're like right there. Literally a week ago, I'm on this podcast saying, guys, let's get in that last wild card spot and start pressing the Yankees. What do? We go sweep the Yankees. We're now 6.5 back with plenty of time. We're right on the verge of holding the playoff spot. And you know, with everything going on, Bregman hurt, Cassis blows out his leg, the starting pitching's like just completely off the rails except for Crochet for long stretches of period of time. Who's the one guy that kept it all together? It doesn't make it just and by the way, why not wait till next week? Why not? He's already set up to hit like 5 home runs in the Sox series later this week. You can't wait a week. You can't wait a week. You can't. Like, I don't know. Let's play the Giants, have Devers hit a couple home runs, help us out, then trade them right before we get on the plane. We're still on the West Coast. You have this whole thing set up after the Yankees series. You can't help yourself. You just assume so many of us don't see it or we're dumbasses. So they just do it anyways. Sam Kennedy's going to lie tomorrow. We won't hear from Henry. He won't be posting a picture of him smoking a cigar. I would think not. You know, and then we're going to get Breslow, who, in my opinion, is being puppeted by Henry and Kennedy. And I almost feel bad for the guy. I mean, he's culpable. Don't get me wrong. He's culpable. But, you know, it's just the lies we're going to get fed tomorrow. I'm already pre-upset. I don't even know what they are yet.
Yeah. You know, Duran is going to have to show up. Crochet is going to have to show up. Bueller, Bayo, all of these guys have to show up and pretend like, you know, wow, our team cares about us, you know? We need to win. I feel horrible for these guys because they can't just quit, you know? They can't stage a walkout. They can't protest. It's done. It just seems like absolute sabotage. It sounds like the call is coming from inside the house, and I just don't know what to do about it. I mean, this is ridiculous, and I agree with you. I mean, he's going to absolutely mash us. I don't understand. You're going into San Francisco, just postpone it. I cannot imagine that things behind the scenes were that ugly that a move like this had to be made so abruptly.
What? How about this? Why not wait until Bregman's back? You're shooting yourself in the foot. You already have Toro playing first base. He's not a first baseman. You have Mayer playing third. He's not a third baseman. It's so dysfunctional. You can't at least wait for Bregman to be back. The more I talk about it, the more upset I get. It's
definitely a hit job. I mean, nobody's going to hold. They're not going to feel the wrath of the fan base because no one's going to be at Fenway for another 10 days, week and a half. You know, it's like he got away with murder, at least for now. And I don't know.
Nick, the ironic part is half the guys you mentioned that have to pretend that this team cares might be next. Duran Absolutely. Might be next. Bueller might be next. And the other irony of this whole thing, outside of the obvious with the Yankees, is like, to your point, couldn't wait till Bregman's back. Could you wait until one of these kids was hitting? I mean, Roman Anthony, who's now the face of the Boston Red Sox, is batting 067 with one hit. Yeah, Campbell's been dreadful, and we don't even play Mayer. Like, oh,
I was all on board to, like, you know, before let's go back in time to like 10 days ago, before these three series wins, I was totally ready inside myself to write this year off and say, you know what? It's a development year. Let's bring the kids up. Let's play them at their best position. Let's sell off pieces And then this team went out and they played excellent baseball, which is exactly what I said I didn't think they were capable of. They proved me wrong. And now I don't even know what we do about this because, you know, maybe Jordan Hicks can settle down in Fenway. We'll see. Maybe Kyle Harrison turns into an ace to go right alongside Crochet, make a dominant 1-2. Maybe this Tibbs kid really is the second coming and he develops into a guy that makes us go, Rafael, who? But those are all maybes. What I know for sure is that Devers is going to be an all-star this year. And he's probably going to be an all-star next year too, and probably the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that. Unless he gets injured, I guarantee you, this guy is good. He's going to put up 3 WAR, even at a DH spot minimum. You just can't replace something like that. It's just horrible.
Best case scenario with Tibbs is he turns into the player that we will trade using a first-time GM to the NL West in 5 or 6 years. That's the best case scenario. For nothing. And then hope we could do it again in another 5 years.
Man, we love corner outfielders, guys. It's unbelievable.
I got nothing left.
Yeah. You know, and you guys are right. There is going to be more moves, no doubt. I mean, it would be a hard sell to say that the Red Sox are going to start making buying moves. I don't know what that would look like at this point. I'm sure there's something out there, but, you know, at this point, nothing is off the table. I mean, Devers being traded was one of those impossible things. Now, who knows? Everything's up in the air, you know? You never know what's going to be next. So hopefully we can keep playing good baseball. Hopefully we can keep winning. But I'll be honest with you, I would highly encourage people not to support this product on the field. I would highly encourage, you know, sit at home, you know, keep rooting for the Red Sox, but I'm not rooting for John Henry. And I don't want to stuff his pockets, that's for sure, because I don't think he cares. I really don't.
Doesn't care about winning. He cares about making money.
I think we can just wrap on that.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, this was an emergency episode. You know, I appreciate everyone out there who is trying to stay positive about this. I don't think that there is positivity to be had here. I mean, there's a world in which this trade could turn out to be a win for both sides. There's also a world where, you know, Rafael Devers turns into Chris Davis. You know what I mean? If we want to start playing the hypothetical game, it just gets to a point where it stresses the imagination. So good luck, everyone. Let's go Sox. Let's hope that, you know, this Mariners series goes well. But I mean, I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of ugly news coming out over the next couple of days. We'll see what Cora knows for sure. We'll see what Breslau and Kennedy have to say tomorrow. We'll see what the players have to say. I'm interested in hearing what Devers' next interview sounds like. Mookie Betts was pretty happy to leave Boston. You know, I remember when he was wearing that Dodger blue. So we'll see. We'll see. But it does look like a culture issue. So, again, I've been Nick, joined by Jeremy, Chris, and Terry. We have been the Bastards of Boston, and we will see you next time. Take care.